Palms it off. Left circle. McNabb. Dorofeev. One-timer. Blocked. Rattles around. Score!
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Michael takes it on his backhand. Forehand pass. Hanifin! Score! Noah Hanifin powers the goal!
From the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the Vegas Insider Show rolling along here on a Wednesday. Final show of the season, and the VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. Chris Chapman, Ryan Wallace, we are with you for the final hour of the VGK Insider Show of this season. Some of you have asked, when will we be back? Well, we will be back September 16th. Mark it on your calendars. I know it's a while. I get it, but like, we'll still be around on social media. You can follow me at Ryan Hockey Guy. You can follow Chapman at Magnum 702. If you want to follow Darren Millard, you can at Darren Millard on X. But I don't know how much he's going to interact with you on the old X machine. But you can follow us over the course of the summer. If there's any breaking news, anything that happens when it comes to the Golden Knights, we will be there for you. Just as Danny Webster will be there for you. Danny Webster of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He's joining us right now. We're going to chat about the Golden Knights. Danny, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm hanging in there, guys. How are you guys doing? And hopefully you are ready for a well-deserved break.
I'm ready. You know, senioritis is a real thing, and I've been feeling it pretty hard ever since Gary Bettman handed the Stanley Cup to Alexander Barkov. I have been in full senioritis mode. And it's tough because the way the NHL schedule broke down this year, we literally had everything happen in an 8-day span. The awarding of the Stanley Cup, the NHL awards, the draft and free agency and development camp, it's all happening all at once. Let's start with, I think, the most pressing issue for Golden Knights fans. And that was July 1st, Jonathan Marchessault goes to Nashville. William Carrier goes to Carolina. Chandler Stephenson goes to Seattle. Michael Amadio goes to Ottawa. I'm missing more, but I know that I can't remember everything. Like, the Golden Knights were unable to or didn't retain all of the unrestricted free agents that they had going into this offseason. What do you make of that?
It was going to be a very tough uphill climb from the very beginning. But clearly, I think we can all agree that the one that they wanted to bring back the most was Jonathan Marchessault. It wasn't because the other five did not possess value. It just goes without saying the importance of what Jonathan Marchessault has brought to this franchise, has brought to this community. The Golden Knights did want to bring him back. Jonathan Marchessault, of course, wanted to stay here. And then when reality set in at about 9 p.m. Sunday night, about 12 hours before the market opened, that there is a likelihood that Jonathan Marchessault would not be back. That's when this mass exodus started happening. It was I can understand for a lot of people, a very difficult day when you see that amount of talent that you had for the majority of the last 2 years just up and gone. It totally makes, you know, a lot of sense for a lot of people to be upset. For the Golden Knights, they were going to be as strapped to the cap as they possibly could have been, and they tried their best to make work with everything that they would have had. Unfortunately, now they have to live with a future that Jonathan Marchessault is no longer a member of the Golden Knights, and it is going to make up a very interesting season coming up. It's going to make up a very interesting couple of months before training camp opens up again. And this is a big opportunity for a lot of guys, a lot of young guys on this roster to go ahead and seize that opportunity. And we'll be seeing in a couple of months whether they're ready for that challenge.
So Vegas, to supplement what went out the door on July 1st, they trade Paul Cotter and they get Alexander Holtz and Akira Schmid. They just came to terms on a contract with Akira Schmid. It's 2 years. One-way contract, $875K for both seasons. That just came down. But you have Alexander Holtz in the fold. You go out and you sign Victor Olofsson. You sign Zach Aston-Reese. Like, there are some players that the Golden Knights have brought in that are high risk, low reward. When you look at total average annual value and what they might be able to bring to the table, it certainly feels like the Golden Knights taking a chance on younger players, really hitting their stride here, like they've done with, say, Jonathan Marchessault or William Karlsson or Chandler Stephenson, who just got a 7-year contract at $6.25 million AAV. So I guess the question that I have is, you know, we can look at the Brendan Brissons, we can look at the Pavel Dorofievs of the world, but how do Holtz and Olofsson kind of move the needle forward for the Golden Knights?
Yeah, I think when you look at a guy like Alexander Holtz, he played his first full NHL season this past year, and in a forward group in New Jersey that is so talented and so stacked, there was just no room for Alexander Holtz to really establish himself. And now he's going to get an opportunity with the mass exodus that happened with the Golden Knights. He now finds himself in an opportunity to compete for a prominent top nine job, whether that be, you know, on the third line with William Karlsson. Maybe he makes a big leap in training camp, and he is the one that eventually takes over Jonathan Marchessault's spot at first line right wing. There's a lot of factors in there when you're coming off of the first full NHL season at 22 years old and you score 16 goals. There's a lot to like there, and definitely the Golden Knights, I feel, really are taking a really good, another really good bargain buy when it comes to Alexander Holtz. And I think if seeing the opportunity that is in front of him, that could be enticing for a lot of people. And then when you look, even, you know, going down further down the lineup, you mentioned Zach Aston-Reese. That's a guy that's always been a very good defensive-minded forward. He might be able to challenge for that fourth-line spot that was left by William. You look at a guy like Jonas Rönnberg, who has always shown flashes of very solid play. He's someone that I think could definitely challenge for that spot as well, just because he's so good on the penalty kill, and he always has that little knack of an offensive game. So there are definitely some guys that can compete for spots, that can make an impact, that have that ability to really turn the tide of what has been a sour 72 hours to this point to now what could become. And you mentioned Brendan Brisson. He's likely to get a look for a full-time NHL role this upcoming season. So there are a lot of possibilities that you can look at, a lot of pieces that you can put across this lineup now that opens the door for opportunity for these guys.
Danny, I think, you know, some fans were probably caught off guard, as I think we all were, on Saturday morning, day two of the draft, when the news broke that the Golden Knights had traded away Logan Thompson to the Washington Capitals. What did you hear about that, and what do you think the acquisition of Samsonov to replace Logan Thompson will look like for the Golden Knights?
Yeah, it was definitely out of left field as far as the actual trade. You know, when you start to hear rumblings about why this could be the case, I'm not sure if it's more sour grapes as it pertains to what happened in the switch before Game 5 against Dallas, where they went back to Adin Hill when Logan Thompson played such great hockey through Games 1 through 4, or maybe it was just the totality of Logan thinking that he did not get a chance to establish himself as a number one while Adin Hill was working his way back. So there are a lot of factors in play there that I do think may have lend its ear to one way or the other. In terms of the actual deal itself, to get 2 third-round picks to kind of supplement the draft capital there, not a bad tidy bit of business for the Golden Knights. At the same time, Logan now goes to Washington, who has a very difficult path in front of him as far as how good Charlie Lindgren was, to now be that number one guy. And you know for a fact that Logan is probably going to get a good amount of money going into free agency next summer. So I do think in terms of how that happened, there were a lot of interesting parts in that deal that I think led to it. But, you know, I don't think we'll actually ever know that full in detail. In terms of them going and get Ilya Samsonov, kind of what we were talking about earlier, another maybe a high-risk, low-reward type deal. But in this particular instance, I think it is a very, very high risk because of how much Ilya Samsonov struggled in Toronto last year. Now, Sean Burke has got a very good pulse on every goaltender in the league. He sought out what he thought Aiden Hill when they brought him in a couple of years ago. Of course, that has worked out well. He believes that Ilya Samsonov is someone that can be of that similar ilk. Now, will that actually translate to him being a reliable backup and, you know, health pending with Aiden Hill? Will that lead to him being able to take the starter's reins at some point if the opportunity provides itself? That's going to be the big question, because if you look at what he did last year in Toronto, not great. And if you're banking on him trying to establish himself back to what he used to be, it does come at a decent cost. But at the same time, if you really feel like you have a chance to unearth what Ilya Samsonov can be, then more power to you. But that is definitely, I thought, going from Logan Thompson to Ilya Samsonov, that was definitely a big risk, I feel.
Danny Webster, Las Vegas Review-Journal, joining us here as we dig into the Golden Knights free agency, the offseason, what we're expecting going into next year, all the changes that are in front of this organization, this lineup, really going into September. On Samsonov, like, I'm not sure how he's going to pronounce it here, but it's been back and forth throughout his entire career. The argument that I'll make there is this. Bruce Cassidy has a goalie-friendly system. The Toronto Maple Leafs, though they're structured in different ways, give up a lot of breakaways. And I think for some goaltenders, it is a harder ask to play in that system versus what Bruce Cassidy is going to employ with the Vegas Golden Knights. I think Samsonov has a great opportunity in front of him to lean into the system and find some stability in his game, because what's the one thing we talk about with Aiden Hill when he came here and Bruce Cassidy? It makes save selection a little bit more routine because you're giving up the same shots from the same places and it's more predictable. I think that's going to help Samsonov.
I agree. And you look at it from that point of view, that's definitely a very plausible argument. Look at it from Samsonov and the way that, you know, like you mentioned, Toronto was just all go. The way the defensive structure was set up, it was all go on offense. And the minute you got a turnover or anything out the other sort, you got somebody cherry picking the other way, and suddenly it's a one-on-one and it does not benefit anybody. I do think that there is a chance that we can see Samsonov thrive in this system. Mm-hmm. I do think that if they are able to get a rhythm going to the point where we saw what Aiden Hill did in the playoffs, you feel a little bit more comfortable going into that. But then you have the other side of the coin, where is Aiden Hill going to revert back to what we saw in March? Is he going to revert back to what we saw in late February? And I think that's going to be the biggest question going into a contract year for him, is what version are you getting out of him? And if things go south, can you rely on Ilya Samsonov to be that guy when things go south? Logan Thompson, I think, proved last year in the time that he did that if things go south, they go to him. And he basically went on that run in late March and early April that allowed the opportunity for the Golden Knights to get into the playoffs and put themselves in a position in a 2-2 series against the top seed in the Western Conference. Can you rely on Ilya Samsonov to do that? There's definitely plausible options that say that you can be, but it's going to be a very big question, and I don't think we're going to know that answer until probably January, maybe February.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to shift gears from goaltending to defense, because I think if there's one position where you look at the Golden Knights and you say, this team is absolutely stacked, it's on the blue lines. You've got Petrangelo, Hanifin, Theodore, McNabb, Whitecloud, Haig, Hutton, and you've got Caden Korzak, who, you know, Kelly McCrimmon spoke very highly of on Monday, saying he expects him to be an everyday NHL player. So that's 8 NHL-ready defensemen. Do you envision that it's going to be those guys going into the season, or do you believe that there's another move that we're not talking about, we're not seeing right now for the Vegas Golden Knights?
I do think at some point you're going to have to make a move there. And I think that it comes down to Caden Korzak is NHL ready. Kelly McCrimmon touched on that. You mentioned that earlier. He is NHL ready. He needs to play games. Mm-hmm. he cannot be sent back down to Henderson because he is no longer waivers exempt. So, but barring all of that, you have to have Kaden Korzak in your lineup, and he needs to play. And he's proven that he is very capable of being on that right side. So that part, I think, is firmly established. What they do on the blue line is going to be the biggest question between now and whenever the trade deadline is going into next season. Because while you can keep 23 skaters, I don't know if it's feasible that you want to keep two defensemen as a healthy scratch, especially if one of them is a 22-year-old potential stud that you have waiting in the wings. So I ultimately do think, I don't know when it's going to be, how long it's going to be. I do think at some point the Golden Knights are going to have to make a move. They're going to have to move one of the defensemen out. They have a couple, obviously, on expiring contracts that are very notable. It could probably bring back some decent value. Don't know what that value could be, but you throw it out into imagination and something is bound to stick. There is going to have to be a move, I think, at some point, because Kaden Korzak, I think, needs to be an everyday NHL defenseman. He's proven that. I think he's ready for the opportunity. And I think that they're going to have a lot of tough decisions between now and whenever the trade deadline is. But yes, I do think they need to make a move there.
So let me follow that up, Danny, because you have Shea Theodore and Brady McNabb both going into the last year of their contract. You have Nick Hague, who is going into the last year of his, although he is an RFA. You have Zach Whitecloud on a very team-friendly deal. I think Petrangelo and Hanifin are not going anywhere. So of those four, who would likely be the odd man out, in your opinion?
That is a very tough question. And for some reason, the one name that I keep going back to is Shea Theodore. And it's just because he's going to command, I would not be shocked in the least if he's pushing close to $10 million on his next deal. I would not be shocked. I don't think any of us would be shocked. Are the Golden Knights willing to commit one more long-term contract of that amount of money to Shea Theodore? And of course, they can offer the eighth year if they want to, now that whenever he's eligible for an extension. So you do play that into a part. But I think the fact that what you can get for Shea Theodore, what you can give a team that needs a puck-moving defenseman, what you can give a team that you need a cornerstone on your blue line, I think is really enticing. And I think if the Golden Knights look at it from that standpoint, I think in terms of what you get in terms of the most value that you can return for your investment, I think it has to be Shea Theodore, because with Brady McNabb, I think he's still so underrated that you cannot move away from what he provides you in terms of defense, and him coming off a career high offensively, who knows where he's scratching the surface there. So you at least have that to work with. And then I still think that you don't want to give up too much or give up too early on Zach Whitecloud. I think that just him having a down year, and he's still young, he's still serviceable, I think that there is still something to be had there. And Nick Hague, I think that there is something to be had there of what he can provide as far as a bounce back year. So if you're asking me as far as what they can get right now in terms of return value and what they can get in the future, that would be my answer, Shea Theodore.
So when you think about the Golden Knights next season, and this has been a question that has come up a couple of times in terms of our text line, people want to know where we expect Vegas to fall in terms of contenders. Are they a playoff team? All of that. I know that a lot left on July 1st. I do. But the core of this team still features Jack Eichel, Tomas Hertl, coming off of an offseason where he can actually train and is not hampered by an injury. You've got Mark Stone, who you're hopeful can get through an 82-game season healthy. And if he can, he's one of the most dynamic defensive forwards in the league. You still have Alex Petrangelo playing at a high level, Noah Hanifin playing at a high level. Like, we just went through their entire defense. Like, they are stacked there. I think a lot of people are expecting a step back. I don't know that I'm there. What say you? What do you think the Golden Knights are next year?
I am definitely not thinking they're taking a step back.
Right.
You look at it from, like you mentioned, all the talent they have. Their center depth is still one of, if not the best in the league. But I think ultimately, two things are going to have to play a huge factor here. We talked about one with the opportunity that lies ahead with these guys at forward. And, one guy that we didn't talk about that could take that opportunity is Pavel Dorofeyev. Mm-hmm. And he is someone who has definitely shown he's worthy of being an everyday NHL player. He's someone that has shown that he can play anywhere in the lineup. And I would not be shocked in the least if he did challenge for those top line right wing minutes next year. So there's another name with established NHL experience right now that you can trust going into next year. So you mentioned Tomas Hertl. He's going to get a full off season to train and, back in a playoff mode. You can expect Tomas Hertl to be a much better version of himself than this year. And then you still have William Karlsson coming off a 60-point season. You still have Jack Eichel. If he's still healthy, if he remains healthy and doesn't miss time, he's pushing an 80-point pace. Mark Stone, obviously, I think is the biggest key of that whole situation. If he's able to get through an 82-game season, then you're pretty much cooking with gas there. So I do think with the core of this team, with the talent that they have, they are absolutely 100% still a playoff team until proven otherwise. And I would just caution anybody who's ready to write them off. Just, we've seen it at the trade deadline many years before. Do not underestimate what this team can do. And if they're able to, if they're in a position where they can land another big fish come February or March, then they're going to do that. And then suddenly the narrative changes. So until proven otherwise, unless everybody lands on LTIR and they have to call up everybody from Henderson, I think this team is still 100% a playoff team.
All right, Danny, I want to change gears a little bit. Schedule comes out yesterday, and we saw they're going to have a bunch of back-to-backs, especially late in the season. But one thing that kind of stands out to me is the road trip back east, New York, and then Boston. They finish in Boston before going into the break, but that break leads us into the four-team international tournament that they're going to have. Jack Eichel, of course, one of the first six players for Team USA. I'm anticipating that Noah Hanifin is going to join him on Team USA, and I think there's a case that guys like William Karlsson, Aiden Hill, and maybe even Alex Pietrangelo could find themselves playing for their respective countries. But we haven't had a chance to talk to Jack because he was out of the country. We are going to see him in a couple weeks at the softball game. But what do you think that means for Jack to be not only representing the United States in this tournament, but to be one of the first six players named to represent the United States in this tournament?
I think it's awesome. When you look back, the most international experience that Jack has had has been playing on the World Championship teams. And correct me if I'm wrong, because I looked it up the other day and I totally forgot. I don't even think Team USA medaled in his two times that he was at the World Championship. So now you get a chance to, represent your country, and you get a chance to, going down a year from now, you're probably looking at the Olympic team as well. So this is an awesome opportunity for Jack. This is an awesome opportunity for a lot of guys that we're pretty confident that are going to land on these teams. So the Golden Knights are going to have a heavy representation for the four nations face-off, and we can only assume that they're going to have a heavy representation going into the Olympics. That road trip is going to be very interesting because you do that and then you go straight into the Four Nations face-off. So a lot of the guys are not going to get those 11 days off that are allotted to everyone else that's participating. So it's going to be very interesting how that plays out. But I think in terms of just getting a chance to represent the country and getting a chance to see what can happen a year from now in the Olympics, I think it's awesome for Jack, and I think it's going to be awesome for all the other guys that are going to get a chance to do that.
Danny, what does your summer outlook entail?
That's as a wide range as far as what I have planned, or what do I think the Golden Knights do?
No. We're not talking about hockey anymore. We're talking about Danny.
Oh, we're not talking about hockey.
Come on, Danny.
Hockey's been on the brain for the last however many months now, and it has not stopped. It's a constant revolving door. Hopefully, a chance to get some downtime, get some sort of relaxation. But we get done with development camp in the next couple of days, and then next week I'll be jumping right into NBA Summer League. Mm. So that is going to be an event in itself, and I really don't know if I want to be there when the Lakers come to town, because it's going to be a Bronny James
ridiculousness heading up over there. But it's always a fun time to catch that. And then hopefully, you know, I'll be around other sporting events. I've been at Aviators games the last little bit. I've been at Lights games. I've gone to one Nighthawks game. So I've been around, but it's definitely going to hit that point where I'm going to try and take advantage of the rest and the relaxation as much as I humanly possibly can.
Have you watched The Acolyte yet?
I have not watched the last two episodes.
Okay.
I'm a little bit far behind.
Ooh.
But from what I heard, there are definitely some mixed reviews, but overall, I've heard positive things.
So Chapman hasn't watched it yet. He wants to start it next week so that he can just blow through all the episodes. It's commendable. I think it's a good strategy. I will tell you that you are on the cusp of two phenomenal episodes. I'm just telling you that right now. So when you have a moment, when you have a little bit of downtime, fire it up, get ready to go. And this is the hottest take that I'm going to leave you with as you ponder your summer. The Jedi are terrible people.
Oof.
That's all I'm going to say. The Jedi are terrible people. My son doesn't agree with me, but I'm just going to, it's hot take. It is what it is.
I love that arc, honestly, and it gives you a little bit different perspective. Although I did totally forget that probably the majority of my summer will be spent playing college football 25. So if anybody can find me, I will be probably deep entrenched in dynasty mode for like the next 2 months.
Hey, buddy, you did a great job covering the team this year. I always appreciate you coming on the show here and also everything that you contribute to the pregame show with me. Everyone knows that I lean on you quite a bit. So thanks for jumping on. Enjoy your summer, buddy, and we'll be talking to you in September.
No, absolutely. Always great to talk to you and talk to you, Chapman. And we'll see you guys back in September, I suppose. Enjoy your downtime as well.
Oh, definitely will.
That is Danny Webster with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Does a fantastic job covering the Vegas Golden Knights. Take a break. Come back with one-timers next on the VGK Insider Show.
Carlson left corner. Centered. One-timer score!
It's time for one-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
One-timers. News and notes from around the National Hockey League. The Seattle Kraken have made history hiring Jessica Campbell as assistant coach. Campbell becomes the first ever full-time female assistant coach of an NHL bench and only the second full-time female assistant coach in league history. Campbell worked with head coach Dan Bylsma with the Coachella Valley Firebirds. And if you have not been paying attention to the Coachella Valley Firebirds, there's a reason why Dan Bylsma got the call to come up to the Kraken. It's because they've been to two Calder Cup finals over the last two seasons, back to back. They didn't win either one, but they've been there.
Yeah.
Campbell is in charge of the forwards and the power play. And it just felt like a no-brainer. Like, she's done a great job. And so, to me, I love this story because it's breaking down a barrier. There are so many great female hockey minds in the world. And if you can kind of get to a position where you're hiring the best person for the job, not just the best man for the job, I think everyone's going to be better off for it. I think it can be a changing of the guard in terms of inclusion in the National Hockey League. Way to go, Seattle Kraken. Way to go, Dan Bylsma. Way to go, Jessica Campbell.
Yeah, the Kraken are proving that they are quite good at breaking down barriers because I believe they have the first African-American play-by-play voice in the NHL as well. So, I mean, good for them. And look, as far as Campbell, you know, Bylsma obviously feels confident in her abilities as a coach, and she's earned it, you know? Like, nobody just handed it to her. She earned it, and I think that's great. And, you know, like you said, I hope we get to a point more where there are the best people hired for the job, not necessarily the best man.
The Detroit Red Wings have signed Vladimir Tarasenko to a 2-year contract extension, $4.75 million AAV. Do you know what the Iser plan is?
No.
Neither do I.
I thought there was one.
I don't think there is one.
No, because I thought that they were going to be in play for Steven Stamkos, and maybe they were, and maybe Steven just felt better going to Nashville. But it seems like this has been a first couple days of free agency, because they obviously lose David Perron in free agency, and you look at what they've kind of done in FA. Ville Husso has been a flop. You know, I thought this was a team that was on the cusp. But look, they have some really good young players in Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider and Dylan Larkin.
Yeah.
But Larkin's starting to get up in age. He's not a playoff guy as of yet. So I think the plan, I don't know what it is. I really don't, because you can't say that today the Detroit Red Wings are better than they were 3 days ago.
Yeah, they're not better than they were 3 days ago. They are the same or worse than they were 3 days ago. Now, here's what I think the Iser plan was. Sign Steven Stamkos and trade for Jacob Trouba. Both of those things would have moved the needle in the right direction. Stamkos went to Nashville, and Jacob Trouba is sticking to his no trade clause. And I know we talked about Trouba yesterday, but I want to add a little bit more nuance to this. If you tuned in yesterday during Catching Up with Chapman, we talked about Jacob Trouba and his unwillingness to be traded at this moment by the New York Rangers. When Trouba signed his contract with the Rangers, he negotiated in a no-move clause. And that no-move clause was supposed to coincide with his wife and her residency in hospital in New York. Trouba's got a newborn, and he has been very adamant and on record multiple times that his wife's career is every bit as important as his career as a National Hockey League player. And here's the wrinkle that makes this really interesting. COVID pushed the residency back a year. So she was supposed to finish at the end of this season, and it's going to be another year. So Jacob Trouba goes from a no-move clause to a modified no-trade clause, and I guess the reports out there are that Jacob Trouba doesn't want to be traded, and so he has put teams that are willing to trade for him on his no-trade clause. And I love it! Listen, Jacob Trouba is doing what everyone in this position should be doing. If you want to get mad at him about the stuff that he does on the ice, the hits, all that, that's fine. I don't care. If you're good enough to negotiate a no-move clause and then a no-trade clause, and you catch wind of your team wanting to move you when you've got a newborn and your wife is in residency at a hospital, you have every right to lean into what you've negotiated. Everyone knew what was going on when you signed the contract. And Jacob Trouba's allegiances to his wife and his kid far outweigh what the New York Rangers' best interest is. I don't care. I love this from Jacob Trouba. Well done. I applaud you.
I'm digging it. I like the fact. By the way, I don't know who his agent is, but awesome on his agent to have the awareness to let his client know, hey, this team wants to trade for you. No, I don't want to go there. Well, this team, nope, don't want to go there. They're now on my list. I'd be curious to see what teams aren't on his list and whether or not he gets traded to one of those teams, because if one of those teams wants to trade for him, obviously there's nothing he can do to stop it. But I wonder if there are teams out there that aren't on his list who are willing to trade for Jacob Trouba.
If that's the case, don't show up. Don't report. Set out.
Yeah.
Honestly, and Jacob Trouba's the guy that'll do that.
To do that, yeah.
100%.
Yep. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, me too. The Florida Panthers lock up Anton Lundell for 6 years. $5 million AAV for the restricted free agent who had a hell of a playoff run this year. Middle six guy, great value, love the contract.
I like him too. You know, we talked a lot about him during the Stanley Cup final as a guy who Sasha Barkov has kind of taken under his wing and mentored. And he's kind of like a mini Barkov in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And he was instrumental in, you know, not a huge offensive guy in these playoffs, but a good defensive forward and a guy who I think the Florida Panthers are really, especially Paul Maurice, really, really high on. Like, you hear Paul talk about him. By the way, did you catch Paul Maurice's Stanley Cup speech?
I didn't listen to the, well, I heard some of the speech and I saw the shirt. Shirt was fantastic.
Let's put it this way. He made day bleeping one sound like clean. It was a doozy.
Yeah, I mean, we all know Paul Maurice.
Yes.
Come on. You know, I want to go back to the Detroit Red Wings because here's the question that I throw at you. Going into this year, this past season, we were talking about the next step Olympics.
Yes.
Between Buffalo, Detroit, and Ottawa.
They all fell miserably.
Detroit didn't do anything in free agency. Buffalo did less than nothing.
They let guys go.
Yeah. Like, you buy out Jeff Skinner and then you don't do anything to, like, replace the money or the contract. Yeah,
and listen, anything? You could have signed Olofsson on the cheap.
Why in the world? Why buy him out?
Yeah.
Honestly.
If you had no plan.
It's weird.
Kevin Adams going to be...
Can't be there much longer.
No.
I think the team that probably did the most, and they didn't do a lot, but they did the most, was Ottawa.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously signing Michael Amadio. Mm-hmm. They had a couple trades. They did move Jacob Chychrun.
I'm not mad at that.
Well, you had a feeling he was going to get moved.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, you signed Shane Pinto. That's good.
I think like
having Pinto in the fold from day one is going to be important for him.
As long as he stays out of trouble.
You bring in... still don't really know what he did.
He gambled, right?
We know it was gambling related, but we have no idea what he actually did. Do you know what he did?
No.
I don't know what he did. Gotta love that NHL transparency.
Yeah, they don't tell us.
Like, to me, I think the thing that puts Ottawa over the top is that they get Linus Ullmark, right? Like, I think that that's the thing that you look at and you say, okay, this team's going to be better because they've got a better goaltender. You bring in Michael Amadio, you trade away Jacob Chychrun, but I don't know that that's going to hurt you defensively. I think of those three teams, at least the Ottawa Senators tried.
Yeah.
Detroit didn't try. Buffalo didn't try.
Well, I think Detroit tried. They just...
Well, that's true.
Failed.
Jacob Trouba just didn't want to go.
Yeah.
Which, by all means.
And neither did Steven Stamkos.
All right. I want to get your take on the Quinville stuff.
Oh. I think it's disgusting. Listen. 2.5 years to me.
Yeah.
For what transpired in that locker room. You had a guy who was doing some disgusting, vile stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I almost cursed.
Yeah.
In that locker room to a player, Kyle Beach.
Yep.
There was a cover-up.
Yep.
A cover-up of sexual assault.
Allegedly.
Well, the guy's name was removed from the cup.
No, I'm with you.
No, I know. I know
I'm
you are.
I'm just saying, yeah. Air quote, allegedly.
And then Quinville's forced to leave the Florida Panthers.
Yep.
You tell us he's done the right things, and maybe he has. I don't know. I don't know how. Like, to me, there's a difference between I'm remorseful because I need to be, and I'm remorseful because I've actually atoned for my past transgressions. And I don't know what it is. I would hope it's the former,
mm-hmm.
but – or I'm sorry, the latter. But, like, it to me, it's – I don't think the league needed to do this. I don't know if the league is ready for this. Mm-hmm. And there is zero doubt in my mind that there are teams that are already on the phone with Joel Quinville.
Their recommendations helped Brad Aldrich get another job.
Yeah. Let that sink in.
With kids.
Yes.
That he then went on to assault, allegedly, after the fact.
They knew about this.
That, to me, is the part that I can't reconcile.
That's the difficult part for me.
The Kyle Beach thing... is reprehensible enough, but to then give a recommendation and help this guy get a job around kids is wrong.
Oh, and by the way, you're doing this while the stuff with Team Canada,
mm-hmm.
and you have multiple players who went to free agency that nobody will touch until after maybe these guys are dealt with Team Canada. Like,
if you ever wanted to know where the NHL stands on this.
Not on the right side.
Well, think about when they release the information.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of free agency.
Mm-hmm.
All the things are happening.
Yep.
It was a news dump, is what it was.
Yeah.
Because there are rightfully important questions that need to be asked. There's transparency that needs to be shown, and I don't think we're going to get it. And it's just that simple, and it's wrong, and it bothers me.
It should. It should bother everybody. Like, if that's your child,
yep.
How are you okay with this?
You shouldn't be.
No, absolutely not.
Those are your one-timers for today, Wednesday, July 3rd. Catching up with Chapman is next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
All right, final one of these for, well, for like 2 months.
Yeah, thereabouts.
I mean, it's about that we'll be back. But just want to wish everyone a happy, healthy remainder of their summer. Try to stay cool. I saw the weather for this week.
And nuts.
120 on Tuesday. Like, I don't even want to go outside. Like, I'm glad I have underground parking, so I don't have to even move my car. Yeah. But, like, that is insanity to the infinite degree.
That is too hot to think.
Yeah. Like, if you have animals, take care of them.
Yep.
Keep them out of the heat.
Yep.
You know, I know it's hard. They got to go to the bathroom, but try to make it quick. Remember to watch their paws because it's ridiculously hot on the ground. And, yeah, I saw that and I'm like, my goodness, what are we doing? You know, I've had my AC on since April. Last year, I didn't turn it on till about middle of June.
Yeah.
And I've had it on since April this year. Like, I'm already worn out from summer.
Sure.
And I know we have like 2 months left. I cannot wait till my vacation going up to the mountains in Utah. I am not even going to have to worry about this heat for a while, at least when I'm up there. But man, I am looking forward to that getaway. It's like 40 degrees cooler in Park City than it is here. So I will definitely enjoy that. By the way, Papa Lou told me to go to Heber Valley.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Giving you the recommendation.
Yeah, apparently some good fishing in Heber Valley.
Papa Lou sent me the shrimp taco recipe.
He didn't send it to me.
Oh, I'll send it to you.
All right.
Don't worry about it.
By the way, Mrs. Chapman, allergic to shrimp.
Really?
She wasn't until she moved to the United States.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yep. Apparently it's something that can sit in you and like you don't know. And one day it just pops up like that you're allergic to shrimp. So we were eating shrimp one night and she broke out and they did tests and determined that she was allergic to shrimp. I was like, what on earth? How does that happen? But
you doing anything tomorrow?
No.
Fourth?
Nope. I'll probably cook some carne asada.
Sure.
Tacos.
You know what I'm not going to do?
This.
Well, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to watch the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, I'm boycotting.
Boycott.
Yep. I don't even care.
If there's no Joey Chestnut, there's no Ryan Wallace.
Yeah.
There's no Ryan the hockey guy.
I feel you.
Not at all.
I'm not even buying Nathan's hot dogs this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, neither am I.
No.
Heber National all the way.
That's the way I go.
Or
Sabrette.
Listen, thank you to everybody. All the listeners, everyone that's interacted. This show is really fun for us because of you. We hope you have a great summer. We'll be back with you in September. Be safe. Enjoy it. Have a great 4th of July. And we'll talk to y'all soon.